fans, and welcome back for another episode of the DFSR Fantasy NASCAR Podcast. I'm Chris Durrell. I'm a full-time contributor here at DFSR, covering NHL, NFL, MLB, PGA, and of course NASCAR. Before getting into the Coca-Cola 600 analysis and picks, I want to touch on last week's All-Star race a little bit, and possibly where the sport is headed in the future. To change things up this year, NASCAR implemented some big rule changes for the All-Star race, which included some restrictor plates similar to those used on super speedways, a higher rear spoiler, especially on the outsides, a couple inches even higher on the outsides of the car, as well as some aerodynamic ducts in the front, just to name a few of the changes. The idea was not only to reduce the speeds overall on the mile-and-a-half tracks, but to keep the cars a little bit closer and create some more exciting racing and possibly some more passing. While the results proved, at least in my opinion, that they were moving in the right direction, as we've seen a whopping 38 green flag passes, and to put that in comparison, out of the last four All-Star races combined, there hasn't been that many green flag passes. So I think that's a little bit of a win in NASCAR's point of view. The one thing that didn't change, however, and that some people did complain about, is we had the same old winner. Kevin Harvick got out front. He led the final 10-lap stage, all 10 of those laps. Clean air did prove to be king again, and I don't think that's ever going to change in NASCAR. But that's definitely something that they're going to be looking for possibly in the future. I don't think it's going to happen this year. They signed kind of an agreement at the start of the year that they're not going to make any big changes like that unless it's a safety issue or something. So we're not going to see this package implemented, I don't think, anytime soon this season, but it's something that they definitely will be looking for possibly next season. They might even tweak it, try it again at the All-Star race next year. And like Kevin Harvick said in his interview after, hopefully that it comes at a very slow pace. They try things out and they get it right. Because it did create, the fans looking on TV, fans standing up, not sitting in their seats, looked like it was a very exciting race. So either way, I do think they are moving in the right direction. So let's move on to this week. The racing at Charlotte Motor Speedway continues, as it does with the Coca-Cola 600, which is the longest race of the season at 600 miles, 400-lap race, and it's going to be split into four 100-lap stages, just like it was last season. And like any mile-and-a-half track, we're going to be looking for fantasy to dominator points to build our core of our lineups. There's been at least one driver to lead 100 or more laps in each of the last six races, and I always refer to the last six races. That's kind of what I break down in my cheat sheet. I don't really go back too much farther than that. I kind of like looking, like the last six races at any track where there's two per year. That's the last 3 years. So I think that's the most relevant data. You start going back farther, we're into older car setups and stuff like that, older packages. So that's why I always refer to the last six races. Three times in those last six races, we've seen a driver lead 200 or more laps, which also includes Martin Truex Jr.'s dominance here at the Coca-Cola 600 in 2016. We started from the pole, led 392 laps of the 400 laps, and also won the race. So we can definitely have some big-time dominators here if they can get out in clean air at the All-Star race. I think having it split into four stages like it was last year is going to kind of take away from that one driver leading the majority of the laps and staying out front the entire race. When it comes to place differential, qualifying is everything, even more so here at Charlotte, as there has been as few as one and as many as 16 drivers to pick up double-digit place differential over the last three years. The good news for this podcast, though, is that coming in, qualifying has already happened. It was completed yesterday. So what they do at Charlotte, Friday is usually an off day for the Coca-Cola 600. They do first practice and qualifying on Thursday, and then we get into the final two practices on Saturday. So we've already seen that qualifying data, so we can touch on a few values in that area as well. So the first driver I want to highlight is, of course, Kevin Harvick, who won the All-Star race last week, and it comes into this week with five wins on the season, three of them coming on mile-and-a-half tracks. He's taken over Martin Truex Jr.'s 2017 role of dominator. Truex won seven of the 12 mile-and-a-half tracks last season and dominated the fantasy points. This season, Kevin Harvick has led 561 laps for a whopping 117.7 DraftKings, 86.5 FanDuel points per race, which is pretty darn amazing. This week, he may not be as dominant when looking at the laps led, but he's still going to be an elite value, as he'll start from the 37th position as the number 4 car, didn't make it through pre-qualifying tech, and will start at the back of the pack. After qualifying, Joey Logano and Kyle Busch, I heard an interview from Claire B. Lang on Sirius Radio, And she just kind of asked them how long they think it's going to take Harvick to get through the field and crack the top five. Joey Logano figured within 100 laps, which is the first stage. And Kyle Busch kind of, she broke it down and wanted an exact lap number. And he came up with 55 laps. So we could definitely see Kevin Harvick up front inside that top five, you know, within the first hour of the race, first 50 to 100 laps. So if he does that, there's a good chance that he may lead 50 or more laps, as well as gain 30-plus place differential points this week. So you can expect him to be super, super chalky. And if he's not 75% plus owned in GPPs, 85% owned in cash games, I'll be pretty shocked. And, you know, if you're building multiple lineups in GPP formats, it's definitely worth throwing in a few fades. You know, crashes do happen. It's a high-variance sport, so GPPs, definitely, you know, if say you're doing 20 lineups, it might be worth throwing even five, six lineups in there, you know, fading Harvick, just in case something happens and you're ahead of the 75% of the field. 75% of the field, you're going to be way ahead if Harvick gets in a crash and finishes, you know, especially in a crash early in the race when looking at FanDuel, because they're definitely looking at laps completed. But if you're playing cash games or single entry, I think it's almost a must that you get Kevin Harvick in your lineups this week. There's definitely a case to be made for each of the top three drivers. The next up is Kyle Busch. He's starting from the pole, and he'll have a good shot at leading 100-plus laps. He showed a fast car in qualifying. Going to have to, you know, pay attention and watch those practices and stuff on Saturday. But he has a good shot at being your top dominator this week. He's been up and down here at Charlotte, and this is the only track in the NASCAR Cup Series where he has not won a race. He has been consistent on the mile-and-a-half tracks this season. He sits second behind Kevin Harvick in fantasy performance with an average of 66.1 DraftKings, 70.8 FanDuel points per race, thanks to four top tens and a win at Texas. My least favorite of the top three in salary, and I talk the top three, I'm referring to DraftKings, is Martin Truex Jr. And now that's weird to say because he's won two of the last four races here while leading a whopping 716 laps. Like I said, he dominated the mile-and-a-half tracks last season. He just hasn't been the same this season with just one win and seven top tens, which is still pretty good. But comparing him to Kyle Busch and Kevin Harvick, it's just not quite there yet. But I do like him this week. I will have some exposure. I do feel he's going to be the lowest owned of those top three, but he does have some appeal for sure. He will be starting 15th and likely will have a top five car going into the race. They usually make those adjustments in the final practices. So there's a chance he could lead some laps. I don't think he's quite the dominator. So I kind of lean to him more a little bit on FanDuel if he doesn't quite show the dominator speed in the final practices. And if you're fading Harvick in some of those GPPs, pairing Busch and Truex together might be a nice GPP strategy this week. They're a lot less priced, so combining those two together, you don't have to go quite as low into the punt to fit those two together. For place differential this week, I'm going to start off by looking at Clint Bowyer. He's starting 28th this week. He didn't make it out of the first round of qualifying. He's been consistent all season in Stewart Haas Ford with a win, three top fives, and seven top tens. He isn't a must, however, as he hasn't finished top 10 at a race at Charlotte, counting the playoff race and the Coca-Cola 600 since back in 2013. So it's been a bit of a stretch for him finishing top 10, but he's in really good equipment. He's been consistent this year, and starting 28th, you know, he's got easy double-digit place differential upside at a mid-tier price. AJ Allmendinger is also on my place differential list this week. He's starting 30th. And he comes with a mid-6K price tag on DraftKings, so that's really nice, you know, if you're going up and trying to get two of those top three, two of the top five drivers in salary. He has an average finish of 21.6 this season, looking at all 12 races with two top 10s. He's also finished top 20 here at Charlotte in two straight and four of the last five races, so he's definitely got that double-digit place differential upside going for him as well at a very low price. I talked about him in my preview article, and I was really hoping Daniel Suarez would have qualified back a bit further in the field. He's starting 10th this week, and I think, you know, starting inside that top 10 is going to keep his ownership down a little bit, especially on DraftKings, because I don't think he's got that dominator potential. So he may be a pivot you want to go to in a couple of contrarian lineups. He impressed here in his rookie season last year, starting 20th at the Coca-Cola 600 and finish in 11th, and then he started 14th in the playoff race and finished 6th. The lack of that dominator potential, like I said, is going to be a little bit lower owned on DraftKings, but it does make him a better play on FanDuel, where the laps completed is a little more important, and the lack of dominator points that you can pick up on FanDuel really helps those drivers that are starting inside the top 10 but may not necessarily have dominator potential. There's a couple punt plays I'm going to be watching closely for when it comes to final practices, speeds, and even 10-lap averages are Matt DiBenedetto starting 31st, Michael McDowell starting 29th, and Landon Castle starting 35th. For more picks, you can grab a copy of my weekly DFS NASCAR cheat sheet as I break down current and career track history, track type history, current and season form, average fantasy scoring for both FanDuel and DraftKings, and then I do the practice and qualifying data that gets updated as those come along. I put all that together into a model where I rank each driver for the current week, and it is fully customizable by creating your own copy. I also go over the sheet and how to create your own copy and how to tweak the model for your own personal preference in a weekly YouTube video following final practice on Saturday, so stay tuned for that. That concludes this week's podcast. Thanks for listening. And if you have any questions, you can hit me up in the comment section of the article over at dfsr.com or in the comment section of this podcast. Or you can hit me up on Twitter at Jaeger_bombs9. Cheers and good luck this week, everyone.